say what I have to say. I'm not saying it. I'm saying what God has told me to say. And so welcome to Adult Church. We're glad you're here. I am starting the new series today. It's been a couple weeks coming. The series God is talking. And God always speaks, but we don't always listen. One of the most popular cartoon strips, does everybody here remember Peanuts by Charles Schulz? I know all of us of a certain age know Peanuts, and hopefully those of you of less than a certain age have seen it somewhere along the way. Charles Schulz had a way of capturing things that was just everyday life, just the stuff that we normally see every day, we live through, and nobody was better at doing that than Charlie Brown. In one of his cartoons, Charlie Brown is at the beach, and he has spent enormous effort building a sandcastle. Ta-da! Has anyone here made a sandcastle, anything like that? Yeah. You like that one? I like that one, too, but I would have no patience to be able to do that. But Charlie Brown worked all day long. He finally gets his sandcastle finished, and he steps back, and a wave comes and wipes out his entire sandcastle. And he looks at it, and you know that sad, forlorn look that only Charlie Brown can do. And he says, there must be a lesson here, but I don't know what it is. And isn't that the truth? You know, every day we go through life and something happens and we think, I know I'm supposed to be learning something from this, but I don't know what it is. We do not learn stuff when life is good. When everything is happening just the way we want it to happen, we don't learn anything. But you learn about yourself and you learn about life in the hard times, the times that it is just not going the way you want. It's the times that the wave goes and wipes out your sandcastle and you think, what is that? We're going through those kind of hard times right now. We're talking about sandcastles that each and every one of us have built. Sandcastles of money in the bank for retirement. Sandcastles for, I've been working on my recovery for so long and it's so hard right now. Sandcastles of, what else do I need to do? I have been looking for a job, and everybody says there's jobs everywhere, but I can't find one. That viral wave of COVID-19 and the pandemic and the fear and the life-changing culture that we are living in right now is wiping out sandcastles a lot. We can always count when it's a hard time, when waves are coming at folks, that people from the holler to the city, people of faith, people with no faith, people in church, people outside of church, people with religion or people with no religion, come out of the woodwork and they say, where is God? How come he's not fixing this? Many of the conversations that I've had over the last 18 months have started with people going through a list of woes. Woe is me, kind of like Job. And they're saying, what's going on in our world? What's happening? When will we go back to normal? Not happening. Amen. Time and time again, people say to me, how do you hear God speak? People understand that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're being guided, we're being directed, that Holy Spirit will lead us, he'll direct us, he tells us where he wants us to go. The Holy Spirit provides wisdom, discernment, conviction. He knows what God's plan is for our life. But isn't it interesting that when life is going good, the way we want it to go, we don't look for God? We don't worry about where he is? Wonder why that is. We kind of stick him on a shelf, like the elf on the shelf. You know, the elf on the shelf only pays attention when you're naughty. I don't know, there must be a sermon in that too, or a lesson. But the bad times, we ask God to get off the shelf and fix it for us. We try to hold him accountable and say, God, you're doing all this stuff to us. Why? Why are you doing all that? Recently, when Howard and I were driving, I noticed a billboard. It was a billboard for a church, and it said, Jesus is waiting for you to speak. Sorry, I disagree. I disagree. Jesus is not waiting for you to speak. He is waiting for you to listen. God is talking. Are you listening? That's what it needs to say on the billboard. He is waiting for us to listen. We talk plenty. We talk plenty. We don't need to talk. We need to listen. I'm going to start today in Hebrews. Hebrews 12, starting in verse 29. If you want to join me, I'm reading out of the NLT, but you can read out of whatever version speaks to you. Hebrews 12, starting in verse 25. Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. It's not what I say, it's what his says. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only the unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring fire. When God is shaking things up, we best be paying attention. When God shakes things up, he's making a noise that we need to be listening to. In Exodus 19, we see the fear of the people when the Lord spoke to Moses. The smoke and the fire on Mount Sinai filled them with trembling. Back to Exodus 19, talks about if they touched the mountain on the other side of the boundary, if an animal went across the boundary, they would be immediately dead. That would scare me. That would scare me a lot. I would stay out of the boundary, just in case you're wondering. They said, we don't want God to talk to us. Moses, you go talk to God. You do it. You go up in that mountain and listen. If they came onto the mountain, they died. And the writer of Hebrews tells us, once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. The world's going to crumble, but only God's kingdom will last. Do you understand that? This world is not our home. We say that, but do we believe it? We are traveling through this. Those who follow Christ, those who have Jesus inside them, they are part of God's unshakable kingdom. They will withstand the shaking, the sifting, the burning. What can be shaken are the created things. The created things, the things of the kingdom don't shake. When we feel unsure about the future, we can take confidence in these words. They are the words of the Lord. We know that. Don't put your confidence in what can be destroyed. Don't put your confidence in what will shake. Do not go in that place. Build your life on Christ and that unshakable kingdom that is His kingdom. Amen. As Christians, we are part of that kingdom. It exists in the heart of believers. It becomes a physical reality when the present world disappears. When this world is gone and the kingdom of God is in place, if you are part of the kingdom of God, you will see that. The rest of this goes away. This world and all created things are not in Christ. They get shaken. They fall apart. God's kingdom can never be shaken. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forever. Those of us who are old know that for longer than those of you who are not old. It happened for a longer time. And if you read the Bible, you know it's been true for thousands of years. That's the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom that we receive. It's the kingdom that we are searching for. It is the kingdom that becomes part of who we are when we become Christians. God's grace is why we get it. We get it not because we're capable of getting it by ourselves, because we're not. There is nothing we can do without God's grace, because we have this kingdom, and we have it by the grace of God. We must be thankful. God is shaking our world. Anybody feel like, phew? I said to my mom the other day, I said, I'm afraid to ask what's next. Because every time I say what's next, something happens. And so I'm not asking what's next. I'm just going to wait for God to show me. And that's how I'm going with life these days. But when God is shaking our world, He's saying, pay attention. It's about me. I'm trying to talk to you. It's because He's getting ready to do something. He's getting ready to do a work. All of this is His creation. He gets to do what He wants, okay? He is God and we are not. So I'm going to show you how this goes for thousands of years. Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 15. That's the Old Testament, okay? So we're going back a couple thousand years here. And 2 Chronicles, I'm going to start in the second half of verse 2. And just read a couple verses, okay? 2 Chronicles 15. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with Him. Whenever you seek Him, you will find Him. But if you abandon Him, He will abandon you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach them, and without the law to instruct them. But whenever they were in trouble and turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought Him out, they found Him. Verse 5. During those dark times, it was not safe to travel. Problems troubled the people of every land. Nation fought against nation, and city against city, for God was troubled with every kind of problem. During those dark times, it was not safe to travel. There was trouble. Nation to nation. I don't care if you flash the lights. I'm preaching this. Nation against nation. International problems. Are we seeing international problems today? Amen. city to city, within the country. Is our country feeling like it's in total disorganization today? Yes. And of course, there were problems that troubled the people of every land. Each individual person was having problems. They were troubled. Everyone was feeling the agita. It was a problem. Verse 6. God was troubling them. Did you expect to see God there? I didn't. God was troubling them. Shouldn't it be the devil coming at them and stirring up all that trouble and chaos? Should be. That's what we think most of the time. We say the enemy is coming against me. No, this says God was troubling them. The people of God were not doing what the people of God were supposed to do. And when they don't do what they're supposed to do, God troubles them. It's called discipline. Any parent discipline a child? Any person get disciplined by their parent? That works whether you are or you're not, because we all had one somewhere. Yes. God was troubling them. So what's the point? What's the point? Here's the big question. Are we learning from what God is troubling us with? Are we paying attention to what's happening? God had troubled them with all manners of disturbance. God's doing the troubling. We are in such a time as this. The shaking that we see, is God allowing all manner of disturbance? And it's happening fast. It is happening fast. It is happening layer upon layer upon layer. We are seeing pandemic. We are seeing wars. We are seeing disturbances worldwide. Next week we're going to talk about Afghanistan. We see in our land people with itchy ears. And the Bible says that there, towards the end times, that people with itchy ears will be listening to only what they want to hear. They will find a higher power that works for them, that tells them what they want to hear. And yet there are financial upheavals. There are hate and divisiveness more than we've ever seen. Race riots across our land, Christian brothers and sisters divided, unwilling or unable to unite under the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mass murders. How many have we heard of? It's become commonplace. We don't even stop and listen to the news anymore when someone kills a whole bunch of people. We fear terrorism. But we're living in it. The sin of idolatry. We want any and everything we want first. First. What we want comes first. And then we acknowledge God as Lord and Creator. We put nationalism ahead of God. We put political parties ahead of God. Folks, I have this vision of a street, and I'm looking down this street, and people are dying right and left on both sides of the street. Behind the buildings, I can see a red glow in the sky. That glow is fire. It's behind the buildings. I'm not the person walking. I'm watching a person walk down the middle of the street. And I keep seeing this vision over and over again. Everything is shaking. The buildings are shaking. The people are shaking. They're falling. The sky is red. The buildings are trembling like you would see them in an earthquake. But one person, one solitary figure is walking down the middle of that street. They're not falling. They're confident. Folks, our God is a consuming fire. And this fire is not flames of a candle. That's not the kind of fire that we're talking about. I lived in the West for so long, and I know what consuming fire looks like. If you've seen a forest fire, a wildfire out of control that burns hundreds of thousands of acres, you understand, you get a vision of consuming fire. Our God is not a candle flame. We light candles and we have those services, and that's awesome. But that's not the consuming fire that is our God. He is a roaring blast of a raging fire that consumes everything in its path. With sophisticated fire equipment and people that are willing to do that, a consuming fire is beyond human control. God is not within our control. We don't get to tell God what we want. We can, but He is God and we are not. Yet He's a God of compassion. We know that. For God so loved the world, He gave His Son so that we might have life. He saved us from sin. He will save us from death. But everything that is worthless and sinful will be consumed by the fire. Only what is good, only what is dedicated to God and righteous will remain. With this kind of shaking going on, one of two things is happening. Either Jesus is coming back, or He's working to shake up the church. Because the church hasn't been doing what the church was supposed to do. The people of God. We know that. We know, we believe, we stand on the promise that Jesus is coming back. And Jesus, come. If that happened this moment, we're ready. We know that. But that time is known only to the Father. We don't know when He's coming. But the church needs to be disrupted. The church needs to get some discipline. We've been asleep at the wheel for far too long. And it's time to say, Jesus, take the wheel, because we haven't done a good job. When Barnabas went up to Tarsus looking for Saul in Acts 11:26, it says, when he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. It was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. This is the first time that the people of God, the people that the original disciples were teaching, it's the first time that they were called Christians. Remember, we've talked about this. They were known as the people of the way. Well, here they get called Christians. They get called Christians. They did not call themselves Christians. They didn't name themselves. They were observed to be acting like Christ. Now, there's a concept. They were teaching in Antioch, and because of their behavior and their activity and their speech, they were imitating Christ in all they said and did. Do we think that we can play at being Christians and escape His judgment of the consuming fire? When you are not sitting in this building, do the people you associate with know that you are a Christian? Do you walk the walk? Do you talk the talk? If I looked at your timeline on Facebook, would it be obvious to me that you're a follower of Christ, even if you don't have Facebook? I know. Are you still walking the walk and talking the talk? I've looked at the timelines of some folks who sit in these pews. I don't know how to say this any more clearly, because this is not a place to be wishy-washy. You do not want to be almost right on this one. And you don't get a do-over, and you don't get to be a 90 isn't good enough. It's not. This is not one of those situations. The scariest verse in the Bible to me is Matthew 7:23, but I'm going to start with 21. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you have a red letter Bible, these verses are in red. This is Jesus talking. Matthew 7, starting in verse 21. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. And verse 23 says, but I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. These words are in red. They are Jesus talking. I don't want to hear those words. I don't want to hear those words. And I don't want any of you to hear those words. We must worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. When we truly worship him, we do it all the time, not just on Sunday morning, not just for this hour where we sing hymns, where we say some prayers, where we give our offerings. True worship includes every action of every day. And it means living by the word of God. By obeying God, our lives become living sacrifices of worship. Are you getting up in the morning and saying, here I am, Lord, send me? Every morning. The title of this sermon is, It's Really All About Him. It's really all about him. And quite frankly, it's really all about him. Do you understand why? Do you understand he is God and we are not? He's our creator. He is the potter. We are the clay. We say these things, but do we live them? God accepts us only when we come to him clothed in the holy robes of his sinless son. Jesus died on the cross that we may have life, that we may have life abundantly, that we may have eternal life, that we may be free from death and sin. When we look around out instead of up, when we act on how we feel instead of standing on the foundation of truth that is God's word, we see a world that is difficult. And the weight of those burdens is way too much for us to bear. We can't carry them alone. The windshield of a car is bigger than the rearview mirror, because where you are going matters way more than where you have been. Your future matters way more than your past. God holds your past. He is our present, and he is our future, and he has never dropped anyone. If you put your life in God's hands, he has you. He has you. He will carry you. He doesn't drop us. I can know that the days that whatever trouble comes, whatever trial comes, whatever tribulation comes, whatever suffering, sorrow, sadness, sickness, and stress that I face, that you face, that he will carry us. He rescues us from evil, and at the end of it, he'll be waiting with open arms to bring us into his kingdom. Folks, yes, there is evil in this world. And yes, look in the mirror. None of us is righteous, not even one. We all fall short of the glory of God. So if we are not cloaked in the righteousness of Jesus, we are evil. Last Sunday, when I talked about the father who ran in the parable, only the father could restore the son to full sonship in the family. In our case, we're sinners. There is nothing we can do to restore that. Nothing. We have lost that relationship. Thank you, Adam and Eve. We have lost that relationship with the holy God of the universe. But yet, but God, who wants a relationship with us, he's there, he's waiting. He'll give you that relationship. He calls and waits. And a single, authentic, repentant step in his direction, and he's often running. He's running to take you into his arms. Not only does he forgive us, but he takes our shame. He lifts off that weight that we carry for our past mistakes, and he wipes the slate clean. The world says we're appointed once to die and then the judgment. Folks, we're going to face Jesus. We're going to face God in judgment. We will stand before him. And from our scripture, verse 28, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring fire. Will the God that you face at judgment be a devouring fire? Or will you be wrapped in the righteous robes of Jesus? Will he be your defender? Is he Lord and Savior of your life? He took your punishment. He took the shame that you should have had. Stop it. He did. And you get to be welcomed home. When you stand before that judgment, will you face Kazaa? Be gone from me, I never knew you. Or will you hear, well done, welcome home? If you're not sure that you're going to hear, well done, welcome home, come talk to me. Come talk to me. You need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you have not done that already in your life, today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Praise God. Father, I ask that every single person in this room be changed by the words you said. Because none of this was my words. None of it. You were all your words. And Father, we need to hear your words. We need to stop talking and start listening. And Father, at the end of the day, when we listen, that means we listen, hear, and obey. That's what that means. And Father,